Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And welcome into the Thursday edition. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. Hope everybody's off to a fabulous start to their day today. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you? What's going on?
Good morning. Doing fine. I won Jerry versus Joe yesterday thanks to some fair judging. So
I think you generally speaking, most of the time have fair judging.
Nah, I don't know about that. You know, I used to want Jared versus Joe to be on here half the time, but I realized that you're just going to give him the wins and troll me. So we'll just keep it where it is.
I would not do that.
So what you're saying is you're putting yourself out there publicly and saying Jared Stoneman won a sports argument.
He won that particular sports argument.
Whatever, dude. We don't need to. It's fine. We don't need to get into this. We don't need to get in this so early.
Keyser, how we doing? What's going on?
Doing well. Went to the Ryman last night, fellas, and had a good old time. And
who was there?
Yeah.
It was The Sacred Souls.
Okay.
Last night.
And what kind of music is that?
It felt more like you've heard the Black Keys, right?
Yes.
Kind of like a twist on that. Imagine like a little bit more soulful.
Okay.
Yeah, it was good. I really enjoyed it.
Nice.
Yeah, that was the best way for me to compare it. But yeah, Kristen had never been, so we went to the Ryman last night.
You want to know something about me? I am a native Nashvillian. I've been here my entire life.
You've
never been? I've been inside the Ryman many times. Never for a concert.
Oh, my gosh.
Never been to a concert at the Ryman.
That is wild.
Disgraceful.
Well, yeah, somehow Katie's been there for a bunch of concerts. I've been there for one event, David Spade. It was good. But I was like, man, this is cool. I'd love to come here to watch music. But, hey, David Spade.
David Spade. How about that?
Because I miss Wu-Tang Clan because I was covering Kumar Rocker's NCAA tournament no-hitter that night.
Yeah,
is so cool.
I think I've almost been to a lot of things there. Like, I think Dave Chappelle showed up there one time and almost went to that and then just didn't buy the tickets. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, yeah, Dave Chappelle was here tonight. Should have probably gone to that. But never been to an actual event inside the Ryman Auditorium. I think I've been to like a taping of some show in there, a couple field trips there, and a tour there, but I've never been to an actual event.
It's a great place.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Yeah, for all of you people, 93 new people every day. If you're listening right now, check out the Ryman.
Yeah, check it out. Right next to the arena down there. It's a good setup down there. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We got a lot to get into on the program today. Predators assistant coach Todd Richards will be with us at 7:30. Preds looking still for win number one tonight as Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and the Edmonton Oilers come to town. So we'll get into that with Todd Richards at 7:30. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports for his weekly visit at 8 o'clock. We got a lot to get into with him. With the Titans, a busy week of trades in the NFL. We will get into all that coming up in the 8 o'clock hour with Charles Robinson. Joe, I saw an interesting piece that Gentry Estes, friend of the show, put out last night at the Tennessean. And you know, obviously, there's just a ton of – it's like an avalanche almost of discussion around Will Levis right now based on what we've seen to this point in the career. And Gentry's column, like, it's really interesting. He makes a couple of really good points in here, but it's basically about, like, Will Levis and the confidence and what some of the narratives coming up about him in the draft was kind of what the Titans need right now. And his opening line is – quote, if confidence is your thing, then have we got a quarterback for you? He says that was the first line of an article from the 2023 NFL Scouting Combine that was posted on the league's website, and it was referring to Will Levis. And it just doesn't feel like right now we're seeing a confident player out there. And, you know, we talked about this a lot with Kucharski yesterday in terms of, like, is he just in his own head a little bit right now? You know, Kucharski brought up the word confused a lot. And it does feel at times that it looks that way for him out there. And my question is simply this. Like, how do you get that part back if you're him? Like, because of, you know, obviously, look, he's not an idiot. He knows that he's not played up to snuff at this point. And, you know, I didn't particularly enjoy him getting up there after the game Sunday and talking about the interception. And, well, you know, my shoulder was a little healthier and had more zip on the ball. I did not like that on Sunday. It's not the first time I've seen quarterbacks or other people do that, talking about injuries and in some way kind of excusing what we saw out there. But I think deep down he knows, like, Brian Callahan's made no secret about it either. They gotta figure something out in the passing game, because right now it's not good enough. And I just wonder, like, while things are going this poorly, how do you repair somebody's confidence? Like, is that something that can actually be done if you're Brian Callahan, Will Levis in this situation?
Well, it's certainly got to be a big focus internally. Again, I'm operating under the assumption that the verdict isn't in, which, of course, Kucharski has, by the way, completely turned tail on that and admitted I was right. We'll get to that later. But
wow.
Yeah. But, I mean, you can – this piece by Gentry, by the way, I mean, here's a quote if I can find it here, Levis talking about, there are a couple times Sunday where I did have a couple of those quicker throws. I look back, if it would have progressed back, I would have had something. You know, again, that's Levis making the decisions to go quick, quick, quick. That's the point I was making. I mean, this is him, and I think it absolutely is a thing of confidence. And go back to early in the season, we were talking about, once you make these mistakes, do you regress too far the other way? I think right. That is some of what we're seeing. But then you're still having mistakes. So to your question, I don't know if they can really do much. I think Brian Callahan is publicly going to be as supportive as possible. You know, in that building, it's everything they can do, just like what you're going to do in a week, right? You're going to go through the film and you're going to talk through things. And do you like this play for this week? And work together on the game plan. But ultimately, he's got to go out there and do it. I think he needs, you know, he just needs a run of positive plays. Now, think about, like, even go like the first game. You know, he obviously made the killer mistake, and in the second half of that game especially, he was really running for his life with the pass rush of the Bears and bad protection. But, you know, I think he was that confident guy then, and really they had a couple great drives in the first half. A lot of it was running, but still really mixed in some good passing there too. It looked like what you thought it would look like. It's probably the mistakes more than anything that have gotten so much attention that have – affected his confidence, but just it seems like everything now is just a struggle for him.
Yeah, the interception on Sunday, I don't know if hesitance is the right word, but I mean, we talked about it. You can see, I mean, you can watch it on the replay. Like, he's sitting there just staring Ridley down. He's patting the ball, and it takes forever for him to make the decision to let the ball go. By the time he does, I mean, the ball just – it has no chance. And I just wonder how much of that is just him second-guessing and not trusting what he's seeing out there. And because the weird part about that is I think there are plays where you see that, and then there's the flip side of that, Joe, where he's wanting to get the ball out as quickly as humanly possible. Like, he got the ball out quicker than any quarterback in the league on Sunday, right. Which and sometimes that can be a good thing. I think sometimes, particularly when your protection – was better on Sunday, which it was. Like, you got to let some of the routes develop.
Right.
So
you're sacrificing opportunities.
Exactly. So you got, on one hand, you're getting the ball out so quick, and then I think there are other times where you're just holding on to it too long and not trusting what you're seeing out there. And, you know, I don't have like an exact play-by-play breakdown of how often both of those things are happening, but it just seems like that's part of the reason he's totally out of sync out there.
Yeah, no, I think for sure it's – and we talked – I do have to make the comparison just because – and now this is different because you're talking about a 19-year-old in the second year of his college, but you're seeing it with Nico Iamaleava right now, right? Is just waiting. Is he open? Okay, I'm going to throw it now, you know? It's just like, you – obviously in the NFL you can't operate that way.
Yeah.
So it's like it's like the worst of both worlds. You have the sometimes just getting it out, just check down too quickly and missing opportunities, and then you have an opportunity and you're so hesitant that you then it turns into the huge pick anyway, you know? It's just like all discombobulated. So I do think confidence is probably as much as anything the issue right now. I mean, it's confidence that's been impacted by poor performance. I don't know a way other than just you keep giving him opportunities. I mean, this is why I think you do for the foreseeable future. I mean, we'll see what that means. And then you hope that he gets hot and there's just something different. I mean, like, again, we hope so too, just because, like, so
I'd like to talk about something else. Yeah.
Like, just something, you know, complain about, like, the middle linebacker play next week or something, you know? but yeah, how do you do that? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either.
It's not easy.
To me, it just kind of, this is when it gets into, you know, we talk about this sometimes, how much blame goes on coaching, how much doesn't, and it's professional sports in the NFL. So, yeah, eventually the coach falls on the sword for a lot of things. But this is one of those things, it's like, well, it's, some of this just comes down to the player. Like, you know, there's only so much a coach can do to help your confidence while you're out there. And again, that's part of what makes the Levis thing so confounding is because I do think, you know, based on what Brian Callahan has said, quite frankly, based on a lot of things that Will Levis has said and talked about in the offseason and during the weeks in some of these games, like I think the right coaching points are there, right? Like they go over the information, they attempt to make some of the adjustments, and one of the questions we brought up with Levis all year long is, I mean, you do all those things and then some of the same things happen in these games. You know, some players, we've seen this in all sports, just have a tough time taking either what they've seen in the film room, what they've gone over on the practice field, and when it's an actual game setting live and you've got people running around trying to take your head off, sometimes it's just hard to translate and sometimes people just can't do it. And I don't know what that means for him.
And that's where, and you've correctly made the point, and a lot others have too, you know, like as we compare Levis, or we talk about Levis, yes, you naturally go back to last year, but what about last year? And you're absolutely right that, you know, it's one great game and one great comeback, but like confidence, certainly, right? Like
he did not lack for that.
Yeah, he came out there and let it rip, man. And again, made some tremendous throws. And I thought even like that Pittsburgh game is another game where it's like, wow, you know, he made some gutsy throws in that game and seemed to really be in command, missed some too, and didn't get it done at the end and all that stuff. But still, there was a totally different level of confidence. And again, I just think it's also there was a totally different level of pressure. He was, hey, let's see what you can do, rookie. And now it's like, well, here's your opportunity to make generational money and be the superstar quarterback you've always wanted to be, or, you know, does Mason Ruff replace you by Thanksgiving?
Right. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll take your thoughts on Will Levis. Also, the Robbie and Rex Road fan base misery index coming up next. Anybody worse off than Titans fans right now in the National Football League? We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Check out Nashville's best deal this week. It's Staley's Chicago Italian Dining right here in Nashville. One of the best-kept secrets in Nashville, Staley's Chicago Italian Dining brings amazing Italian food to the South, including original Italian beef sandwiches, Vienna Chicago-style hot dogs, and the best gyros south of Chicago. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals. You get half off a $20 gift card while supplies last. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Rowe, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jared from Spring Hill says, I am excited to see all the other drama also. That locker room is sus, according to the youth. Sus?
Wait, what?
Is Jared from Spring Hill an insider? We have some suspect activity going on in the Titans locker room.
Yeah, well, but what? Yeah, what do you mean by sus? I do know what it means. I mean, it means suspect.
Oh, it does.
But yeah, but that can still mean different things for you. So I need to know. I'm excited to see all the other drama. I don't know. I don't know about that. I do know that JC in Goodlettsville, I just want to read this real quick. He says, with any competent judging, Joe never loses a Jared. I'm to be thanked for Vandy beating Kentucky. Couldn't be much worse of a take, and it's very indicative of Jared. Thank you, JC. Appreciate you. Good point.
Did he say that? That's funny.
Yeah, he's right there.
Okay. All right.
Thank you. I'm going to write in all caps. Thank you, JC. I love you. Yesterday, the text line was getting after me. When Karski gets in here, man.
His minions says, get on the text line?
Yeah, it's a little, you know. But that's all right. I'll read his apology later.
I look forward to that. I got one texter that says, I do put blame on Callahan a little bit. I don't think Callahan is making the system to Will Levis' strength. He's trying to make Levis into Joe Burrow and stay in the pocket, throw intermediate passes, which he is not. He's more of a roll out of the pocket, throw a deep style of quarterback. It's from an unnamed texter.
I get the narrative. It's a very popular narrative. Again, it goes to the Kaharski, like the ball came out fast, the short passes. It must be them trying to fit the square peg in the round hole. I don't really buy that too much. First of all, like you have to be able to check down. You do have to be able to be accurate, short and intermediate. Like you have to have that. You can't just throw bombs.
Right.
So I don't think he's trying to make him. I mean, I think they've tried to go downfield. They did have, again, they had the game where you had the touchdown, you had the drop. So Ridley had the touchdown. He also had the drop. Those were both really good deep throws. And then you had the Burks deep shot. That's a pick that should have been a catch. I know that's one example of one game, but I think that they will try to go downfield. You could say they could try more. I just think it's Levis not playing well. I keep coming back to that. Like, he can play better. I promise you, when they go through the film, and like other people, there's all the people who go through film, and you know, you can find it on the X if you want. But
you can't.
Like, they go through it. It's like, well, here was one downfield you could have done. Here's one. I mean, like, there are plays there to be made.
Dave and Big Rock on the text line says, what do you guys think of the Ridley locker room comments about getting the ball? We had a lot of questions about that this week. I think they got to figure out a way to get in the ball. And when they get in the ball, he's got to find out a way to catch it. That's what I think about it. Like, could the Titans do a better job early in games of, you know, making him the primary on some of these plays and getting him the football? Yeah, I think they could. When the ball is thrown his way in the fourth quarter over the middle and he drops it, he loses a little bit of the sympathy from me with the complaining after the game. When the ball's thrown your way, start catching them every time. And then when you do that, we can start getting to the putting blame on everybody else for not getting you the ball more.
Yeah. And again, that one play where he had it, that was a big play. That puts him close to midfield on what could have, should have been a drive to tie or go ahead. You know, that's a big play that he forfeited, because he just couldn't hold on to the ball after he had two steps with it and then got it jarred loose. So I'm with you. I get it. I think that was just a frustration thing with him, you know, in the moment. And I'm sure it's got to be frustrating for anybody who has eight targets and has no catches. And, yeah, some of them were just poorly thrown ball. You know,
right.
Yeah. Like, one of those quote-unquote targets was like the – well, one of them was a pick, but one of them was also the should-have-been pick. Those are – you know, there's nothing he can do on those. So I get that frustration there. But, yes, he's got to – like, when you're brought in and paid like this to be what you're supposed to be, you have to make every play you can possibly make.
So
made none.
Where do the Titans – where do Titans fans rank right now on the – index that we're about to create here live on the show, the Robbie and Rex Road NFL Misery Fan Pain Index. We've got to come up with a shorter name than that, but that's what I'm calling it right now, the Pain Index for the Robbie and Rex Road NFL fans. I can't imagine there's too many that are below where Titans fans are right now in terms of just misery watching your football team every week. There are a couple that come to mind that are in the same ballpark for sure, but where do you think Titans fans rank right now on the Robbie and Rex Road Misery Index?
So I ranked my top five most miserable fan bases in the NFL.
Okay.
And I have the Titans fourth.
Okay.
So some people would be like, wow, okay. But here's how I rank them. First of all, number one to me easily is Cleveland. The Cleveland Browns fans, they thought they had an answer. They were all willing to overlook all the weird crap from Deshaun Watson because he was going to be a great quarterback. And they're stuck with him. They're terrible. They're selling parts. It's just, obviously, ownership is a problem. There's just no – and Baker Mayfield's down there doing great things with the – like, any possible area of misery for a fan base, like, they check all the boxes.
It's hard to argue that.
It's amazing. Like, and of course, then you just add in the long-suffering thing. For a long time, the Cleveland Browns and Detroit Lions were, like, kind of like kissing cousins. You know, in the 50s they were great, and then they're both garbage, and now they even have to watch the Lions be good. It's like, it's just
really is every conceivable angle for a Browns fan is just terrible, right?
The rest of their division's great. Yeah. I mean, even the Steelers are good this year. You know, it's something else. My number two is Carolina because, you know, they drafted the rookie. Now they've given up on him. I think the big thing with them is, you know, certainly here there are questions, and questions about the ownership here and decision making and all that stuff. But there, it's like you have one of the most. I mean, like, he's the new Daniel Snyder, but even more of a jerk. Like, it's bad. And so with him clearly putting his fat fingers on everything, like, you just, like, there's no chance, you know? I mean, it's like, so if you're a Carolina Panthers, you're watching McCaffrey, hey, great trade there, Christian McCaffrey, and just all, you have no answer at quarterback. It's a bad deal. Now, this is where it gets close for me, Robbie. I put the Jags fans a tick ahead of Titans fans in misery.
Okay.
Titans fans may argue with me. But my reasoning is that, like, they are, like, Trevor Lawrence is who they've paid, it's who they've got, and it's just, it's underwhelming. Now, he has recently played better. He played better against the Colts, you know, but it's just not great. A coaching change is probably coming. And so, like, even though with the Titans, who I put fourth, like, obviously, it's very rough right now on a lot of fronts, too. I mean, they have an easier out to go get back into the, you know, the wandering of the desert trying to find a quarterback. I mean, the Jags don't.
Right.
That's my distinction. And then my fifth is the Cowboys. I mean, yeah, they're just bad. They just, the Lions beat them 47-9. Jerry Jones out flipping out on radio hosts. They just, like, where's the pathway for that team to do anything close to what it hopes to do?
That's a great point. I would also add, and I don't know exactly where in there, because you could argue that this week makes it better because now there's new hope with Devontae Adams coming in. But Jets fans being at 2-4 with Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback and you thinking that he's solving everything, and then you're now, I think, realizing that that franchise is just not good and not well run. Look, I'm interested to see the Adams things too, which is probably why they don't involve.
That's why they didn't make my
list. They don't belong in this discussion right now, because maybe that is just going to be something that unlocks them. But basically, until I see them go out there and actually do it and win, I'm going to be skeptical of it. I'm looking back on some of my preseason picks, and the Jets winning that division may be the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, well, they would absolutely qualify, but now there's this hope. And look, I gotta say, as underwhelming as Aaron Rodgers has been, Garrett Wilson and Devontae Adams both?
It's a pretty good combo.
I mean, you got Todd Downing calling plays. Get excited, Jets Nation. Now, they would be
Todd
there.
Downing's fired up a couple times the other night that sideline.
Aaron seemed to be nice and actually speaking to him and pushing him. That was good. Yeah, I had other contenders like but the Pats, but now they have Drake May, and there's hope, you know? I mean, even the Raiders, it's so stupid, but, like, Tom Brady bought part of the team. Did you see that Mark Davis like, oh, yeah, we're going to have him select and train our quarterbacks?
I did see that. I saw him walk into the facility yesterday, too, and it was like that, you know, when the Titans hired Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan, like, every employee's just lined up out there, and it's like, Brady!
Oh, God.
Good stuff.
That's great.
I look forward to that.
I think Dolphins and Giants also, I think those fans have a case.
Yep. There's a lot of miserable fan bases in the NFL right now.
Yeah. See, misery loves company. Feel better, Titans fans.
615-737-1025. Where do the Titans belong on the Robbie and Rex Road NFL Fan Misery Index? How miserable are you? We got a couple of those texts in already. We'll get some of those coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. We are broadcasting from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, the fan misery index that we've now created here on the Robbie and Rex Road program.
Some strong comments.
Some very strong comments. Rex Road's got you at the number four most miserable team in the NFL right now. Cody on the text line says, we traded A.J. Brown for Treylon Burks and Malik Willis, then let Henry walk, and fired our best coach in franchise history. Nobody has it worse than the Titans. I hate it here. It was from Cody on the text line.
That's strong. I would also, you know, Cody, you should have added, and then Malik Willis came in here and beat you.
There is that.
I mean, yeah, that deserved to be in that, but good text.
Craig says, I'm getting on a plane this evening to fly to Buffalo for the game. My level of misery has Kathy Bates getting her hammer ready, which is just a fantastic reference.
Oh,
what a movie that is.
Goodness.
Not that, for the faint of heart.
That's very good. So you're getting on a plane on Thursday. Wow. So you're going to spend
big weekend in Buffalo.
Big weekend in Buffalo. Hopefully. Look, I like Buffalo. I just don't like it after a certain point and for about five straight months. So hopefully it'll be good. It'll
weather.
Be good to you. Yeah. I mean, it sucks here.
You know,
relative to what we like.
I have seen a snowy game in October for the Tennessee Titans on the road in New England where they got beat. 59-0
game.
Yes.
God, that right there was. Oh God, that was in October.
It's in October. I think it was late October, but it was in October.
Yeah.
Oh, it'll be fine this weekend in Buffalo, mid-60s.
Okay,
all
good. All right, so
it's
enjoy
a summer day up there.
Enjoy Buffalo, and who knows? You know, the NFL, crazy stuff happens.
Liam says, for the first time in my 39 years of fandom of this franchise. And he just sent another text, so his text went away. I have no plans to watch the game Sunday. I'll check the score occasionally. We are bereft of hope. It's lethal to combine bad with boring. This is from Liam on the text line.
You know, and then I want to add to his next text. That's some strong stuff, Liam. He's then says, my kids don't even want to watch anymore. They occasionally walk by the TV. I can see in their faces they just feel bad for me. Like, why are you hurting yourself, Dad?
That sounds like you trying to convince your family members over the years to not watch the Detroit Lions. It's now paying off for them, but for years that was not the case.
Well, it's you know, the funny thing is you go back 3 years and Brennan, you know, now my now senior, who just got accepted to Michigan State last night, by the way. Congrats, Brennan.
Way to go, Brennan.
He got season tickets. To, you know, we got them like, you know, upper deck, two tickets. So he and a friend could go to Titan to the 21 season. And yeah. I was like, this is perfect. He has kind of become a Titans fan over the years. He really, you know, he got into Derrick Henry. I'm like, this is, it's working. I'm switching him from Lions fandom to Titans fan. It was working.
Yeah.
And now it's like, what am I going to say to him? Now his Lions are just so amazing. And it's like, I can't sit here and argue that you should be following the Titans now, man. Titans blew it. They had a fan. Like, it was happening. I mean, he was excited on that day when they took on the Bengals in the playoffs.
Yes.
A lot of people were. I know. Sorry to bring it up.
That was that the last? That wasn't the last one. I mean, they did start off the next season, what, 7-3?
Yes.
So, was it the last time you felt great? But
great as the one seed,
yeah.
And you got two wins at home to get to the Super Bowl?
Yeah. That was the beginning of the end, I think.
Yeah.
LD from McMinnville says, as a Titans fan, I'm stuck in a state of perpetual misery. Herbert McEwen giving the nice comparison of a prostate exam to being a Titans fan. There's that
more,
going on.
More
right
talk
now.
Of people with big fingers.
Yes.
David Tepper, your doctor.
Some very descriptive comments on the text line right now. The point of which is all to bring it home to this. Titans fans are in a bad spot right now. And I think the text from Liam hits it perfectly from this standpoint. It's one thing to be bad, and we've talked about this a lot. It's one thing to be bad. It's another thing to be bad and at times just brutal to watch. And it feels like that combo has been around here for basically 2 years at this point of not only are they not good, which by itself over the long haul will just absolutely eviscerate your fan base, but when you combine that with, you know, the 17-point-per-game weekly output that we've seen over the last couple of years here, that's when it becomes borderline unbearable for a Titans fan.
Well, it's really – I mean, it's this is the third year, right? I mean, this is the third straight year of it, despite a totally different offense and, you know, coach and all that stuff. I mean, that's way too long to ask fans to watch just – unwatchable offensive football in a league that now, as people have pointed out, gotten in arguments on this, yes, defenses are definitely winning more this year. The cyclical nature of the game, you know, the defenses are winning more. There's more ugly scores, and but still, there's plenty of teams that are scoring a lot of points and actually running fun offenses to watch. Those Lions are, you know, they have like a trick play for every one of their offensive linemen, and all of them are at least close to scoring touchdowns.
It was fun to watch the other day. Brian says, it's so bad that I look more forward to the Monday morning talk of how bad they were instead of the game itself. You guys are where we go for healing. It's from Brian on the text line. We're glad that we can be here for Titans fans this year. Now look, we've talked about this week, and this goes back to the quarterback discussion. I mean, there is going to reach a point, and quite frankly, I think I may already be there, where like I just get tired of sitting here continually bashing Will Levis and the way that he plays. It would be nice for them to go out and, even if you lose on Sunday, maybe have a surprise performance offensively where it's like, hey, did you see the Titans offense? I know they gave up 38 on the other side of the ball, but they scored 31 and they lost. How about that?
Yeah. No, for sure. As a human being, like last game, and even, you know, like Levis' presser yesterday, it's hard to watch people struggle. I mean, again, I'm not going to shed a tear for like professional athletes or anything like that. Get paid a ton of money, and that's why we pick at them like this all day long. But it's you can tell that he's struggling with this, right?
Yep.
And so it would be refreshing to see at least like some good plays. And that is where it's like it is on him ultimately. It's like there are going to be plays to be made Sunday, and he has to see the field and make them. But it is a big deal in that building too, I'm sure, to try to reconstruct some confidence.
Dustin from Hopkinsville says, I usually start my yard work around 2 o'clock on Sundays. I know better than to get excited when we get the lead. It's like, 2 o'clock's rolled around. Let's just avoid some of this disappointment for the last hour, 15 minutes of this game. Go ahead and get started out there cutting the grass.
How about the flip around of Eli from Smyrna? At least Vanderbilt plays Saturday, so my misery does have an endpoint. Vanderbilt is a source of joy.
Think about uttering those words before the year. But he's absolutely right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the Titans are not necessarily a game that I look forward to watching on a weekly basis. I do look forward to watching Vanderbilt right now and that offense.
Yeah.
Think about uttering those words before the year.
Unnamed texture. Being a Titans fan is like being on a merry-go-round, except the merry-go-round is on fire.
Oh, man. Terrell says, it's like after fussing at your kid and you think they got it, and then bam, they did it again. It's from Terrell on the text line.
So Alex Montreal said the worst decision of his life was to become an Oilers fan in 1989. There, I mean, look, this has been obviously a long-suffering franchise. One Super Bowl is not great, but there are worse situations.
There are.
Like the Cleveland Browns. Like, you can't – like, I'm sorry, but you guys can't compete with the Cleveland Browns.
Yes.
You can't.
It's hard to compete with that right now.
They are absolutely the champions.
With an absolute dumpster fire of a history, particularly in recent memory, this is like they've had certainly worse rosters than they've got right now, but this one's pretty near the top of the list for Browns fans. It's got to be of
incredible.
The money you've doled out to this quarterback, how bad he is. The fact that I think you have a pretty darn good head coach is ultimately probably going to end up paying the price for this and Kevin Stefanski. Like, it's really bad.
You have a lot of talent.
Yeah, exactly.
And yet, still, it's absolute cheeks. Yeah.
Yep.
Real quick, I did list my giddiest fan base. Want to see what you think real quick.
Okay.
In order. Washington Commanders. Some of this is – it's like the Coach of the Year award, right, if you've been bad for so long. But they have their guy, and it's been so long since they've been anything but a joke, right?
Yep.
I got the Bills second. This is the way they're playing, and now they add Amari. I got the Bears third because Caleb looks pretty good. Then I go Chiefs just because it's like the spoiled-ass Chiefs fans. And I go Ravens after that because Derrick Henry looks great, and like they got to feel like they have a chance to. That's my five.
Yeah, that's pretty good. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll have the best and worst things in sports coming up next. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
The best and worst of the sports week, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
1025 The Game and The Game Nashville app.
It's time!
This is the worst.
You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
I believe in miracles, yes! Unbelievable.
He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle, it's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay, let's go.
It is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things for this week in sports on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, kick us off with your best and worst things in the world of sports.
What the heck, man?
All right, Kuharski, get that microphone figured out over there.
Exorcism, speaking of the exorcist. I'll start with my worst. Baseball's dead to me again. But it was an incredible run for the Detroit Tigers. I'm wearing my old English D today. Tarik Skubal is an incredible pitcher. You know, he gives up the grand slam to lose game five at Cleveland, unfortunately. And now the Guardians are going to go out and lose to the Yankees. Great job, Cleveland. Oh, more great Cleveland sports for everybody. I'd like the Guardians to win, but they're not going to. It was an incredible run. Heartbreaking for them to lose. That's my worst in sports. Baseball, whatever.
My condolences.
I feel bad for TD, too, because I think he went to that game last night and the Dodgers beat the Mets. So, but he did get to see a Shohei Ohtani homer.
He
so
did.
Hopefully there's some solace in that. My best is that I destroyed Paul Kuharski. And all of you yesterday on the text line who got on there and were like, Paul's mad. Yeah. Let me read this from Paul. He sent this to me. He wrote this. Okay.
Okay.
While play calls may be asked for Levis pushed it downfield, he's become gun shy. He seems reluctant to do it, probably for fear of big mistakes. The case has been made to me, effectively, that my recent piece suggesting the Titans' use of Levis suggests they have a verdict on him was flawed, and that he's deciding where to throw it, and he's not necessarily throwing it where they want him to. Much of the film from the Colts' loss shows open people in intermediate areas being missed, often because Levis is late, end quote. Thank you, Paul. Now, next week, and we will show appreciation for Paul, and I won't, you know, you come in whenever you want to come in, buddy. But you better come in here and get on this microphone and say the same stuff. You know, you knew I was going to read it on the air. All of you on the text line, I'll accept your apologies now. I'm going to be looking at the text line right now and waiting for you. Thank you.
Make it out to Joseph Rex Road.
That's
on
right.
The text line.
Yes. Make it out to Cash.
Nick Kieser, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Yeah, sitting up in the press box on Tuesday night, right before the Predators played, the Columbus Blue Jackets had their first home game of the season, and they decided to honor Johnny Gaudreau by not putting anyone at the left wing spot. So I thought that was a really cool way to be classy and to show, you know, honor to him. So that's my best in sports.
Yeah, we were talking about that off the air yesterday. They for 13 seconds let the time run off the clock, didn't have anybody at left wing, and there was, you know, a really good ceremony that they did before the game. I have no idea how Columbus like played the game after that. They did. They end up losing to Florida 4-3. A cool goal by Sean Monahan, who was his best friend basically, and put the puck in the net, pointed up to the banner. It was really cool, but that was a very emotional scene on
very
Tuesday.
Much so. So we'll see how they continue to do up there in Columbus. But I was at a Halloween party this weekend, and the worst in sports had to be sitting around the TV and watching the Tennessee Volunteers try to win in regulation. Mm. I could not believe that game ended that way whatsoever. Dylan Sampson had a great game. I mean, he scored all the touchdowns, but that just can't happen week after week, Robbie. So, but if you want to elaborate further, go ahead. But those are my best
and worst
things.
Well, I do have a Vols thing to get to for my worst in sports. I'll get to that here in a minute. I want to start with the best. The Heisman Trophy odds are out. Ashton Jeanty is number one on the list. I just want to read off his numbers. He's got 126 carries on the year, 1,248 yards, 17 touchdowns. He's averaging 9.9 yards per carry. Let me read that again. 9.9 yards per carry right now. His rushing totals just quickly this year. 192 against Oregon, 127 against, I have no idea who that is, Presbyterian, I guess. 259 against Washington State, 186 against Utah State, and then last week against Hawaii, ran for 217 yards. The guy's unbelievable.
And he's sat 2 second halves of games completely.
Yes.
So he really hasn't played he's played a game less than it says. He's absurd. Right now he's, I think, the leader in the clubhouse. If you've watched, the highlights are more impressive than the numbers you just.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to be – I actually think he – where did Bijan Robinson go, seventh?
Yes.
You know, it depends on need, but he's going to go high. He's unbelievable.
Yeah, he's crazy. But the numbers are just insane.
Yeah, absurd.
My worst thing in sports, Keenan Peely going down with the ACL injury just sucks. And look, I know you'd make the jokes that he's been in college football forever, which he has. And, you know, we've talked about that in his age. But he was playing really, really good football for Tennessee. I think he's clearly really important in that locker room, the leader on the defense. And to see him go down, I saw when he got up and went on the sideline, you know, you had the initial hope because he was walking off on his own power. But you kind of saw when he got over to the sideline and how emotional he was that it probably wasn't good. You had Josh Heupel basically go on this big speech about how important he is after the game. And then it came out Monday that he tore the ACL. Just tough to see for Keenan Peely.
That's a killer. Yeah. No, he's been playing just as much talent as they have up front. A lot of different guys up there. The way he was flying around and, like you said, leading that defense. I think one of the leaders of the team. You know, you look at the other side of the ball. I mean, Nico is a young QB trying to find his way. And so they and Cooper Mays is a leader, but I think Keenan Peely might be as much a leader as that team has.
Yeah. One texter says the best is Army and Navy in football, both top 25 teams.
Heck yeah.
The worst, Preds looking pretty rough to start the season. How about that? I mean, the Army-Navy game this year could be unbelievable at the end of the year.
For a playoff spot.
It could be for a play, which is kind of, I mean, because think about when that game happens, right? Like it's the last one.
The very end. Yeah.
Like it could be pretty wild how that could shake out this year.
They are legit. I mean, Navy Notre Dame is like that this
next
week?
It's next week. Because it's possibly, I mean, that could be a possible game day spot over Vanderbilt, Texas.
Yeah.
Although I did see an interview with Reese Davis, who was like, you know, he didn't say where they were going, but he was asked, and I can't remember where it was, so I apologize where this interview took place. But he was asked about like Vanderbilt, Texas. Could it be a possibility? He was like, yeah, it's on our list. And he's like, you know, the easy one would be Notre Dame and Navy, but it's not on campus, and we traditionally like to be on campus. So I don't know.
That's an interesting point because you're not gonna have the typical crowd.
No,
and I mean I would imagine these Vandy folks, you know, they're like selling out their road allotments for
games now. Yeah,
so they're excited, man.
They should be.
Come on to Nashville.
615-737-1025. Our phone number 615-737-1025. Speaking of the Vols. Need a vibe check from Vols fans heading into the Bama game. I'm speaking for myself, Joe. I've not seen a lot of excitement from Tennessee fans heading into this game. And I think I know why, but we'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.